between the anointing oil and the fire of God. The anointing is different than the fire of God. The anointing is with oil. The power of God is with fire. Now, many times we strive to get unity. Unity is a coming together for a purpose. That's a miracle if we can achieve that. In Psalm 133, the writer says this: how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's just like the oil that came upon Aaron's head, upon his beard, and upon his cloak. How good and pleasant it is when brethren can dwell together in unity. Because God commands the anointing. And so often we look for the anointing. We need the anointing. But the anointing doesn't change who we are. The anointing commissions us to do something. Samuel anointed David. And all through the Old Testament, the prophets and the kings were anointed. They were anointed to do something. But you'll see tonight, only the fire creates who we are. There are many anointed preachers whose lives aren't what they should be, because the anointing is a gift of God. It's a gift of ministry. It's a gift to achieve. It's a gift to do. But when the fire comes, it changes who we are. So I want to speak about the difference between unity and oneness. And oneness is difficult to understand. Because it's almost a contradiction. Because to achieve oneness, there has to be more than one. It's called oneness, but you can't have oneness with only one. You will see tonight that oneness is a power of God. It's a principle of God. There's more power in oneness than anything else that God has created. Oneness is an extension of the singular. It's the incorporation of more than one into a multifunctioning one. If we can achieve oneness, it's based on purpose, vision, and relationship. Unity is about coming together to achieve something. Oneness is coming together to be something. And as good as it is to do something, It's far better to be something. If we were to die tonight, and we were to stand before the Lord, the first question he would ask is not what do you do, but who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Because God is more interested in who you are than what you do. Now what you do should come out of who you are. But some people only become who they are by what they do. And that's how we judge people. That's how we judge people. You say to them, what do you do? And according to what their answer is, you put them in an order of being impressed. I'm a footballer, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. We seem to be impressed with that. But we don't ask, who are you? What's your life like? What's your family like? What's your righteousness like? How sanctified are you? We judge people by what they do. I was involved in professional football in England for 21 years. I managed all the soccer stars, all the football stars. I managed 700 of them. From every major club in Britain. And they were famous for what they did. Not for who they were. Because some of them were naughty boys. But they were famous because of what they did. And the message tonight is that we need to become famous for who we are and not for what we do. Because when we're dead, somebody else will do it. But nobody can replace who you are. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible is full of illustrations. The Bible is full of illustrations of oneness. Oneness speaks of a covenant. It's a spiritual authority. There's a power and a synergy. There's a force in oneness. Be that good or evil. It started at creation. It started at creation. God walked with Adam and spoke with Adam. There was a oneness. There was a unity. Unity of purpose. Oneness of being. Adam was made in the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God. He spoke with God. He had the authority of God. He named all the animals. He was the image of God. That's who he was. Because he and God were one. They used to walk in the cool of the day. There was an anointing on him. And he used to name all the animals. The anointing is what he did. The oneness was who he was. It was a created power. Oneness was a created power. God intended man to be one with him. He breathed himself into him. There was no division with him until man sinned. And when man sinned, he lost the oneness with God, but kept the power of oneness. Because oneness is a gift to the world. Let me explain that. What is oneness? Number one, the fact or state of being unified or whole. It needs two or more components. Let me explain it this way. We believe in one God. Father,
Baba,
Son,
Omo,
Holy Spirit. More than one. But one. Three personalities. Father,
Baba,
Son, Holy Spirit, one God. It's the power of who God is. It's a unity of thought. It's a unity of feeling. It's a unity of belief. It's a unity of vision. It's having the nature of Christ. Somebody said, who can have the mind of Christ? He said, you have the mind of Christ. If you're born of the Spirit. Christianity is uniquely contradictory. It's a personal faith. It's a personal faith. Personal. Me, personal. One faith. It's mine. Personal. Yeah. But it must be lived out corporately. To be a Christian, you need to be with other Christians. There's this power of oneness. But what happens when that oneness is not in God? What happens when this oneness is not in God? Genesis tells us. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that there was one language, there was one culture, one people, and they said this, come, let us build a city, and let us build a tower into the heavens, so that we can make a name for ourselves, and let us do it before God scatters us. Now I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this. Because this is God speaking. This is what God said. And God looked from heaven. And he saw the desire of man. And saw that they were in oneness. With one thought. With one intent. And this is what God said. Is there anything they cannot do? Is there anything they cannot do? Let us build us a city and a tower whose top will reach to heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves lest we be scattered. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's find a way to heaven that doesn't involve the sacrifice of the Lamb. Let's have a gospel of works, of self-centeredness, of our ambition. And the Bible says that God said, if I do not stop them, there is nothing they cannot do. Which proves that oneness is a spiritual thing and not a psychological thing. And if it isn't used for God, it can be used for self. There's some very successful people in the world. Very successful people. There are very successful people who are very powerful. They believe in oneness. They believe in positive thinking. They don't follow God. But they're very powerful. Dangerous. In the 1930s, in Germany, Adolf Hitler believed in the power of oneness. He got a whole nation to think like him. They killed 6 million Jews. They were almost unstoppable. They should have invaded England. We only had a few aeroplanes. But the King of England called for a day of prayer. He called for fasting. Because he could see the power of oneness. And there was nothing that they could not do. And many of you know history. In a thing called the Battle of Britain, where just a few aeroplanes, they drove the Germans back. Because God looks from heaven, and He will not allow the evil of oneness, to invade this nation. The Bible says that God came down and He scattered the people. I want you to listen to this. He changed their languages. He brought confusion so that man could not be one again. He could come under unity. There could be an anointing, but that's only to do. Oneness is to be. And God scattered them. And so I now need an interpreter. Because some of you don't understand me. Because God scattered the people. And so my sister is having to explain it. Because oneness outside of God is dangerous. It's powerful. It's spiritual. I spoke to some Germans a few years ago who stood in the rallies with Hitler speaking. And they said it was spiritual. It was evil. They could feel the power of Satan. The power of Satan. Because oneness is spiritual. Not psychological. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you how God changed all that. Are you still with me? Are you sure? Good. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, and verses 13 and 14, we see that God starts to change. He starts to bring man back into oneness. Man has had the anointing for some time. But in 2 Chronicles 5, Solomon builds a house for God. And it says this, that it came to pass that as the trumpeters and the singers, whereas one, say one, to make one sound, say one, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." The house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. The Bible says this, when all the priests held not to their own position, their own division, when they no longer wore their own labels, and when they began to be together, and they wanted to come into oneness, God moved, and the power of God hit the temple. It goes on to say that when Solomon prayed, and when he read the word, the power of God hit the place, and on the pavements outside, people went down in the power of the glory. There is a power when we come into oneness. Now let me explain oneness. When you get married, there's the husband and the wife, and the pastor, three people, and you make vows. You make a vow to God. Now the Bible says the two are better than one. Because if one falls, the other will pick him up. But the Bible says three is even better. Because a three-corded rope will not easily break. There's a covenant. There's a covenant. But the Bible says that when you get married, you become one flesh. Man and woman and God, three being one. That's the power of oneness. The man still has his personality. The woman still has her personality. But when God looks at them, he sees that they're in an agreement. They cannot be separated. They're not in unity. They're in oneness. Because when they consummate the wedding, they become one flesh. Adultery is breaking that covenant. You are only married through consummation. Two become one. I've been married 46 years today. I was not married until I had sex with my wife. Thank you. But if there is no sex, there's no marriage. That's why the Bible says, do not refrain from each other. Other than for prayer. That's why women pray a lot. Okay. Do you get what I'm saying? Oneness is stronger than unity. Unity brings the oil. Oneness brings a new life. And when the musicians, and when the trumpeters, when the trumpeters started to play as one, when they did not want to be the star, they were together as one. And when the singers sang as one, and when the preachers didn't mind who preached, because it wasn't about their ministry, it was about the glory of the house. And when they were one, the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came. And tonight, I want the Holy Ghost to come. Amen. One more. Come to me to Acts 2. 120 people. Men and women. Was not their culture. Was not their tradition. Jewish men and women did not worship together. They still don't. If you go into a synagogue, the men sit on one side and the women sit on the other side. And this is what Paul was saying when he told women to be silent. Because the women would shout over to the men, Reuben, what is he saying? And he'd shout back, Martha, Martha, he's saying this. And Paul said, shut up. Wait till you get home. He did not say women could not preach. He did not say women could not prophesy. He did not say they couldn't heal the sick. Because in the last days, your young men and your young women, they will prophesy. And your old men, your old men will dream dreams. Most of Paul's team were women. The Apostle Paul, his team were mainly women. So come with me to the upper room. Men and women looking at each other. Uncomfortable. Embarrassed. They started talking to each other. The disciples speaking to ordinary people. No rank. No higher authority. All in a room together. And the Bible says this. They were in one place. In Pardon?
Pardon?
Pardon? Pardon? I can't hear you. Pardon? Unity? Pardon? One accord. Oneness. And as soon as they had oneness, a wind blew in. Sanctification hit the room. And then the fire came. I said, then the fire came. I said, then the fire came. And they began to speak with tongues. Listen, all the languages that had been scattered, God was now calling them back. In darabababa sheki bebe, ishalamarababo, in karababa, no song tang chao mao che ka tao che, no tong song ho mo mo shaka, tang tang wang 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 chingi mo mo song mo mo ye tao, ushule mo song jule pa, qui sont jus, tous les sons, les bassets, qui sont de Umba, Umba Baba, Ekoko, Okoko, Ankaka, Onkongedi, Tonkaba, Tika, Onkokoko, Asakama, King Mong, Song Tao, Yao Mao Chao, On Shao Mao, King Ong, Chong Mong, Yoma Mama Siki, Mo, 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 Yi Pao Chao, Mao Chao, Kao, Pao Chao, Kao, Pao Chao. Come back, come back. All is forgiven. Come back. The Tower of Babel has gone. The cross has come. Babel's gone. Babel's gone. Babel's gone. Babel's gone. Tower of Babel has gone. The cross has come. The cross has come. We're now oneness. I want to ask you the question today. Are you chasing the anointing? Or are you seeking oneness? If you want the fire, you'll only get it with the oneness. See, revivals only come through fire. It does not come through anointing. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, stood one day in the freezing cold in England, in deep snow. 2,000 people were there. Nobody inside the church. The bishop sent a message. Mr. Wesley, why are people listening to you in the cold when they're not in the church where it's warm? John Wesley said this, God has set me on fire and the people come to see me burn. God has set me on fire and that revival went round the world. A little man that tall. That's how tall he was. He was about your height. John Wesley was about this height. Just a small man. Charles Wesley was my height. He was as fat as me. His brother John was as small as this. But these two men, in oneness, saw God do a revival. I want a revival. I said, I want a revival. I said, I want a revival. Who wants a revival? Who wants a revival? The power of oneness. Can I just ask one thing, Bishop? Can I ask for the musicians to come back? Can I ask you to get on your trumpet? Can we have a bit of oneness in this place? Yeah? Are you ready, singers? Are you ready, musicians? Are you ready, musicians? Come on, stand on your feet. In the Shut up,
Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maraba kaboka. Erika raba kaboka. Shira makabakai. Marika ruba kabai. Ivrana bakaboku de ketrebogaba. Parikin busandai. Nigarabu kabarabaku de ketai. Ivrekelo bokumakai kada mataya. Ivramo kubaka de kito kubakai de kodobakane. Iraba kabara. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now let there be silence in the house. No movement at all. No movement at all. God is bringing people into oneness with Him. In this house tonight, God is restoring oneness between husband and wife in this house tonight. God is restoring oneness between the leader and the people in purpose to advance the kingdom of God. God is bringing people together in oneness in the place of worship. Oneness in the place of prayer. And the result is revival and the advancement of the kingdom of God in a very significant way. We haven't had a great message tonight. The message tonight wasn't great. It was transformational. Is the key to limitless possibility. And when we come in oneness with God, husband and wife coming in oneness with each other, the church coming in oneness with the purpose of God, there will be revival. There will be revival. And here tonight, first, I want to pray for some people. You want to come into oneness with God. You want your sins to be forgiven you. You want Christ to come inside you. You don't just want to be religious, no. You want to be one with God. One with your maker. You want to be at peace with God. You want to be sure that when you leave this world, you're going to heaven to be in His presence. You want to be free from the grip of the devil. You want to be free from the grip of sin. I'm going to pray for you because the glory of God is in His house and your life will change permanently for good. Change permanently for good. So whether you're young or old, male or female, great or small, educated or not, whosoever you are, rich or poor, you want to come into oneness with God. You want your sins forgiven. You want to receive the gift of eternal life. Raise your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray for you.